Today's reading is from John chapter 13, verse 36, until John chapter 14, verse 7. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord God, we ask now that you would speak your words of eternal life to us. Father, we ask for your Spirit's help. We ask that you would help us to see and to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. A number of years ago, a family friend of Gabby's released a very successful album, and Gabby's friend invited us to the album launch in London. There'd been a big publicity drive. He had been on the radio. That is the thing that your parents used to listen to, music, in the olden days when things were in black and white. He was in magazines. Those are the things your parents used to read in the olden days when things were in black and white. They're on the TV, which I think we still have. Anyway, we got to this venue for this gig, and it was packed. There were celebrities, there were socialites, there were friends, there were record label execs, and a whole bunch of security guards. We got to the front door. We said, "We're here for the album launch." But the security guards just looked blankly at us, arms folded. They didn't budge. So we gave our names, and they looked down at their list, and they said, "Sorry, you're not coming in." There was no way we could convince them that they should let us in. They wouldn't listen to our reasons. We could show them text messages from our friend to say, "Come, please come." They didn't believe those. You couldn't buy a ticket because it was an invitation-only thing. And we didn't think it was very wise to try and bribe our way in. So we said to each other, "What are we going to do?" Gabby tried calling, but who can hear a phone at a gig? So we stood there for a while, and after a couple of minutes, we saw Gabby's friend over towards the back, called him over, and he said to the security guards, "They're with me, let them in." And he took us straight through. It is sometimes far more important who you know than what you do. This morning we're thinking about how we get access to an infinitely greater party. Not a gig in London, but eternity forever with Jesus. We're thinking about how we get into heaven. We're thinking about how we need Jesus and Jesus alone to get us there. If you've been with us over the last few months, we're working our way through John's Gospel, his account of Jesus' life. And in the first half of the book, we've seen that Jesus is the one who came down from heaven second half of the book, he is the one who is returning to heaven, but not on his own. He is returning to bring his people with him. He is returning, chapters 13 to 21, not in defeat as he dies on the cross, not with his tail between his legs, not fleeing from a great enemy, but in wonderful victory. He is returning to his Father, going home to bring his people with him. The cross, part of God's sovereign plan, God's plan to wash his people clean, to make us fit to be with him forever. And in this section, chapters 13 to 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples, his followers, for the moment when he'll be away, preparing them for his departure. He's just told them at this climactic moment, at this real peak, it is the hour of glory and the moment that we see the depths of his love. It is the moment that he is leaving. And as we know that the cross is coming, we can understand there might be a few questions. That is what we get from the disciples, a whole bunch of questions. In verse 37, in chapter 14, verse 5, then another one in verse 8, and then another one in verse 22. And John structures this little section around those questions. We're looking at two of them this morning, and as Peter asks his question in verse 37, Lord, why can't I follow you now? We see both our utter inability to get ourselves into heaven and the great assurance that we have that Jesus can. First of all, verses 36 to 38, Jesus is the one who lays down his life for us. We're on page 1086. If you've closed your Bibles, do open it up again. That will help me, and I hope it will help you too. Read with me from verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Lord, where are you going? Jesus is going away. He is returning to heaven via the cross. He's just said, verse 33, where I'm going, you cannot come. That is what prompts Simon's question, Peter's question. He knows that something sinister is going on. Jesus isn't just heading off to the shops to buy some milk. He's not about to go off on holiday. He's just said he's going to be betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's going to the cross to die on the cross, and Peter is desperate to stop it from happening. Surely there's another way. I'm going to find another way. He's so sure of it that he says, I will lay down my life for you, whatever it takes. And so in a few hours' time, when we see Peter picking up a sword to fight off the army of soldiers who have come against them, those words echo, right? I will lay down my life for you. Peter doesn't draw his sword because he thinks that Jesus has got this in hand. He does it because he thinks Jesus needs saving. Peter thinks he will lay his life down. He thinks he will save Jesus. Now, he's so confident in his strength and so determined in his desire to cling to Jesus. But he doesn't know what all that is in himself. And so Jesus says to him, will you really lay down your life for me? Because the reality is actually very different, isn't it? Before the next morning, we read on, We see Peter's claim that I will lay my life down for you. It quickly turns to denial. That is what this picture is, actually. This is Rembrandt painting Peter's denial of Jesus. He is asked three times in a few hours' time, surely you're one of his disciples too, aren't you? And three times Peter replies, I am not. You see, he thinks he is strong, but the reality is he is so far from laying down his life for Jesus that Peter tries to save his own life by denying that he ever knew him. As deep as Peter's love for Jesus might be, Peter cannot lay down his life. He can't be the hero because Jesus is. He needs Jesus to lay his life down for him. He needs the good shepherd to lay his life down for his sheep. He needs Jesus, the Lamb of God, the only one who can take away sins of the world. Peter cannot get to heaven on his own. And yet he's not held up to condemn us and to show how rubbish we are, but to show us that just like Peter, we need Jesus to lay his life down for us. You might be here this morning and thinking, I love Jesus, I'm super devoted to Jesus, and that is great. But as much as we might want to echo Peter's words, we can never lay our lives down for him. We need him to do that first. We remember some things for the rest of our lives, don't we? Those nicknames you're given as a kid, maybe words of praise from a parent, or words that cut you down. Those words at the end of verse 38 that Jesus said to Peter, I reckon, stayed with him for the rest of his life. Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And yet, despite knowing all this about Peter, despite knowing that Peter is going to deny him and let him down, Jesus still loves him. He still lays his life down for him. Peter might have denied Jesus, but Jesus never denies Peter. And a few days later, when all is said and done, over breakfast on a beach, Jesus restores Peter. He raises him up. Will you lay down your life for me? We need Jesus to lay his life down for us. But before Peter is crushed by those words, Jesus continues in chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Because we can't get ourselves to heaven. We can't lay our lives down for Jesus. But he can bring us to heaven. The first time I preached on these words was at a funeral for a dear brother who found these words immensely comforting. These are words that are packed full of assurance. These are words that have comforted many, many of us. In my Father's house in many rooms, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Wonderful hope, wonderful words. But they don't stand on their own. These words, we have a break in our Bibles with a little section heading. Those headings in our Bibles aren't original. In fact, the verse numbers were only added about 450 years ago. These words here are part of Jesus' answer to Peter. Lord, why can't I follow you now? Jesus says, you need me to lay my life down for you, but don't worry, I can get you to heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. Worry, anxiety, it plagues us. We are living in a generation that is marked, increasingly marked by a mental health crisis. It's that feeling that you get when our problems that we face seems bigger than our resources to cope with them. Your chest seizes up, your heart tightens, you get that sinking feeling in your stomach, panic starts to set in. The disciples are troubled. See, not only is Jesus leaving them, not only has he just told them, I'm going to be betrayed, that he is going to the cross, returning to the Father, he's also just told them that far from laying down his life for them, for him, Peter will abandon Jesus. And if Peter can't get into heaven by laying his life down for Jesus, then what on earth happens to the rest of them? If that is the case for their leader, for the strongest of them, then what will happen to the rest? Now, here they are on the brink of catastrophic failure, and Jesus says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. See, Jesus wants them to see their utter inability to get themselves into heaven, their desperate need for Jesus to die for them. He wants them to see that so that they can have the full assurance that it is just Jesus who does it for them. Only Jesus. He is the one who lays down his life for them. He is the one who can bring us into heaven. And the logic in verses 2 and 3 is quite simple. He said, I am leaving. And then verse 2, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Therefore, verse 3, I will return and bring you to be with me. He's getting things ready for them. He's not running home to do some vacuuming or to rearrange some cushions on the sofa. He is going to the cross. He's going to make the way for them. That word troubled in verse 1 is the word that Jesus has used about the cross. In verse 21, he says he is troubled in his spirit as he thinks about being betrayed. Or chapter 12, verse 27, as the hour of his death and resurrection approaches, he says, now is my soul troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus is tying their need for a savior to his work at the cross. He takes their trouble so they don't need to be troubled. He takes their sin and their shame and he makes it his own. He takes the judgment of God on himself. He takes the curse of sin on himself. He's going to the cross so that he can prepare a place for them. So that he can bring them home, so he can bring them to his Father's house. But not just them, you and me too. That is why he says there are many rooms in my Father's house. He's not showing off, my house is bigger than your house. He's not trying to crash Immobilien Scout. This is not about luxury, but that there is room for each and every one of his followers in his Father's house. There is an open door and an open room for you and for me. Maybe there are some of us here this morning who are troubled. borne down by our sin. Hearing those words of Jesus, will you lay your life down for me? Defeated by your inability, weeping, troubled. The Lord Jesus says to you, believe in God, believe also in me. To trust Jesus is to trust the living Lord of heaven and earth, the one who is God himself. So what he says goes. There is no one and there is nothing that can change his mind or can change what he says. If we are trusting him this morning, then no matter how weak our faith might be, there is nothing that will stop him from bringing us to be with him. You and me and every single one of his people to his Father's house. He has laid down his life. There is nothing more to be done. The death he died for you. Every sin, past, present, and future, dealt with at the cross of Christ. No more debt to be paid. His is an ocean of grace. And so here is assurance. Let not your hearts be troubled. Because it doesn't rest in our ability. It doesn't rest in our fickle faith. Our feelings come and go. Our attempts to lay our lives down for Jesus come and go. Some days are better than others. Never good enough, though. On our own, we can't get to heaven. But Jesus doesn't need us to do that. He does it for us. Our assurance is in Jesus alone, because of who he is and what he has done. Now, he says this to the disciples so that when he leaves, when he has died, when he has returned to his Father, they would have the assurance that he will return and bring them to be with him. When speaking on these verses, Sinclair Ferguson, a Scottish pastor, I won't do the accent, he says, he will keep his hand on us during every in-between moment. There is not a moment when he doesn't reign. There is not a moment when he doesn't say, I will bring you home. Not a moment when he doesn't say to you, if you're trusting in him, let not your hearts be troubled. When your sins accuse you, or when Satan would shake you, or when you feel that your faith is too weak and your feet will slip, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You can never lay your life down for Jesus, but he does that for you. He will bring us to heaven, because no matter how big our sin is, the cross is bigger and his mercy is more. And here's the wonder. Jesus doesn't do it just to forgive you and then to send you off on your way till you find your own path. Have a look down at verse 3. He does it so that we can be with him. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Jesus can bring us into heaven. Hallelujah. And finally, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Verses 5 to 7. There is real assurance here, but here is the punchline. Because we can't do it, because Jesus is the one who does it for us, he is the only way. It is only in Jesus. Read with me from verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is exclusive because he is the only one who lays down his life for his people. Because he is the way to God, the truth about God, and the life he offers is the life of God. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there is real assurance, but a real challenge. Pope Francis was reported to have said this week, and I quote, he said it in Italian, I'll say it in English. All religions are a path to arrive at God. They are like different languages to arrive there, but God is God for all. It might be a translation issue. I don't know. I don't speak Italian. But sadly, he has said similar things before. Jesus would say something very different. We're not all on a path to God. Jesus says, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not one of many different paths to God, but the only way, because only Jesus lays his life down. Nothing and no one else leads you to God. Not Islam, not Hinduism, not Buddhism, not secular humanism, only Jesus. Thomas A. Kempis, the medieval theologian, said, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. But with Jesus, there is a way. There is truth. There is life. And so the challenge for you and me is, what do we make of this? Will we accept what Jesus says? Will we let Jesus be the only one who gets us into heaven? Will we let him lay his life down for us? Because we can't get to God on our own. That is what Peter wanted to try and do, to lay his life down for Jesus. But our best will never be enough. Our love will always shown to be lacking. And what we think is our spiritual strength will only prove to be our pride. Your good works can't get you in. Your dedication to church, your being baptized, your wallet can't get you into heaven. Your personal goodness can't get you to heaven. You might be the most generous, kind, loving, patient person that you know, but it is not enough. We can't lay our lives down for Jesus. We cannot get to heaven on our own. And it was only as Peter stood warming himself by a fire, humbled and broken as the cock crowed three times, that he really saw where his efforts led him. It's great to want to try and do great things for Jesus. We want to show our devotion. We've seen Mary pouring a year's worth of perfume at Jesus' feet in lavish devotion. That is a precious, precious thing. But we need Jesus to love us first, to lay his life down for us. In the words of one bishop, we might think we can do wonders for Christ, and like Peter, we may learn by bitter experience that we have no power and might at all. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Time showed that Peter was wrong, and the Master was right. And it is very hard for us to hear this. We don't want to hear this. In fact, God's grace is what led the Pharisees to plot to murder Jesus. It is what led Judas to betray Jesus. It is what led the disciples to be troubled. But we need Jesus to lay his life down for us. And when we do, we find abundant assurance. We find there is a way. We find the truth. We find life in all its fullness. And when we find those things, actually, we do find that Jesus does demand our life. Once we've been served by him, we're called to serve like him. Once we've been loved by him, we're called to love like him. Once he has laid down his life for us, we are told to hate our lives and follow him. Jesus said to Peter, "You can't come now, but you will follow after." You read on to the end of John's Gospel, and we see that Peter does, in fact, or will, in fact, lay his life down for Jesus. But it's only after Jesus has served him, only because Jesus has served him. Only after Peter saw what Jesus did for him, understood what it meant for him, and experienced the depths of God's love to him. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is following this life that we find life. Let's pray. Father God, we are humbled by what you say. As we find ourselves face to face with our weakness and our inability and our sin, we see there is no way for us to get to heaven. But we thank you that Jesus does that for us. We thank you that he says those words of assurance to us. Let not your hearts be troubled. And so, Father, would you help us to follow him with all that we have and all that we are. Because he alone is worthy of our praise. Because he alone is worthy of our lives. Father, we thank you that he laid down his life that we might have life. We thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.